Greetings this morning to you, brothers and sisters. I greet you in the Lord's name. it's not very, not the most comfortable thing for me to come up here, but I think it'll be okay. So I'd just like to start with having a word of prayer here. And so let's just bow here. Our dear Father, we do bow before you this morning. Father, this forenoon here, we're before you, and we're thankful for this time together, and we're thankful for the brothers that have shared and everything that has came, Father. And I just do pray that you would be with my heart and my mind, Father, and that you would bless this time. And Father, not us only, but Father, those we think of, all those that are gathered and all those that are worshiping you and seeking you at this time, Father, we just pray for them also. Father, we just commit this to you. We love you. And I think now of Brother Aiden also this morning. I pray for him, Father, as he's there in Bolivia, and all those that are there. Pray bless them also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for this morning, I have something pretty, very simple. And Mose asked me to share an opening, and then he said I can just extend it a little longer and have the message. And I thought, well, that was a nice way for him to put it. But I think that it didn't seem as bad that way. But this morning as I was here, there's so many things that, as I was thinking about this, so many things that came out. And then it was hymn number 260. I decided I would read that when I go up, and then Mose did, and I was blessed by that, that God was working. So for this morning, I'd like to, in a simple way, if I could just start a little bit in the beginning of I don't know how to explain it. If you'd say the beginning of time, I'd like to kind of take us through a little journey or in our mind. And I like to open up with thinking of God and who God is. And thinking of his almightiness. And I was thinking how he's above all, and there is none greater than him. 1 Timothy 6:15 says, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And it's by him that all things consist. Everything that was made by him. He's the creator. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. I'm going to turn there. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And we just see that everything that is on the earth, every creeping thing, whether everything that creeps on the earth, everything that flies in the sky, everything that swims in the sea, it was created by him. And there was nothing made. There was nothing made that didn't go through his hands, so to speak. He created all things, and he created us humans. But he made us different than all those other things. And it says in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, that he created us. And it says, Genesis 1:26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So we see that we were made in his likeness. So God created man, in the image of God created he him. And that we were created in the image of God. I think it's fair to say that we were created differently. We were created in a special way. We're different than all than everything else that he created. And he, most of all, he desires that we bring glory to him with our lives. He wants us to glorify him, to serve him. But as we keep going, as we keep going, we have something that we call or refer to as the fall. We're all familiar with this, but we refer to it as when Adam and Eve took of that forbidden fruit. In Genesis, it says that. And we think, I was thinking through this, so Eve took first of the fruit. And Eve, she took of it and she gave to her husband, to Adam. And they did eat. But why? I was thinking, but why did Eve take the fruit when God told them not to? And it says here, I'm trying to, I don't know if I have the reference written down, but it says that the serpent came to her and he beguiled her. And I was thinking about this. He beguiled her. What does that mean? And I looked it up more into it, and it's he deceived her is the short of it. He told her lies. He told her an untruth. And in fact, he told her that they would be wise like God. They would even be wiser if they'd take of this fruit. He made light of it. He said, you know, in short, he said, it's nothing. He said, don't worry about it. You can take of that fruit. It's not a big deal. But it was. God said, don't take of it, and they did. So I was thinking of this. So, but who is this deceiver? Who is this serpent that told her to take of that fruit? You know, we always say it was Eve, but yet why did Eve do it? What persuaded Eve to do it? What convinced her? And who is this Satan that we talk about? And where does he come from? We say everything was created by God. And Isaiah 14, I'd like to turn up to Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. So where was Satan and where does he come from? And Isaiah 14, verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? Which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And I'm sure there's more references that I don't have here, but Satan wanted to be like the Most High. And I think there's a place that it says that he was jealous of God, or he was of his power, or And God cast him out of heaven because of that. And from that time forth, that's where two kingdoms, there was a war. And I know that in Revelations it talks about a war in heaven. I know some of that might be talking about the end times, but we could somewhat liken it to that. It says that there was a war in heaven. And God cast out Satan. He didn't have any room for him. It said Satan and his angels. And now Satan is angry with God. And now he is out to get anyone that he can on his team because he can't be there. So he wants to get all that he can on his side. He wants to deceive all that he can. He wants to steal, to kill, to destroy. It says in John 10, I believe it is. Might turn there. I think it's John 10. The thief cometh not. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth life to his sheep. But I'll just stop there. But I just wanted to bring out that the thief, Satan, the tempter, devil, he's coming, and all that he wants to do is destroy in any way that he can. And I'd like to keep bringing this down more and more to our more practical. And, you know, I've never really pondered this too much before, but I was thinking, I wonder if it wouldn't help me in my Christian walk if I were to know a little better how Satan works, a little better what his tactics are, what his strategies are, what he tackles, how he fights. You know, if we build something, whatever it is, we need to know the weakness, the weakest points of that. We always, if there's a building we put up, we brace it for the winds, because we know that it's not windy at the time, but they can come. But in a sense, that's how we are too. That's how Satan works. He doesn't want us to put our whole heart in, and he wants us to think that it's okay. But he comes, and I'd like to turn to 1 Peter 5:8. We all know this very well. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I've heard before, I don't know too much about lions, I've heard before that sometimes if they ambush their prey, at a certain point they'll roar and they'll try to scatter them so that they have vulnerable prey, ones that go off to the side. And, you know, I think this is the way that he works. He wants us to be intimidated, to scatter, to flee, to run. But the best place for us is to be with the good shepherd. And where there's nothing that can come near. If he doesn't come like a roaring lion, he might come in a still small voice, or in a small way, just tempting us or telling us little lies that really aren't the truth. He comes and he wants to come into our lives in small ways and bring disunity. He wants to bring he wants to sow discord among us. He wants to he doesn't like to see godly families, and he doesn't like to see children that love the Lord. He doesn't like to see when our hearts are washed clean. He doesn't like these things. But I think of an example, and I don't know how good this is, but there's a, you know, we think of a light shining down, and in a sense, God's not going to travel and keep us wherever we go, but we need to go to that light. And You know, that light, if I can explain it, I think of a light shining down, and we're either in that light or we're not. And if we're not, then we're in darkness. I'd like to talk a bit about that light here in 1 John 1, I believe. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and the word is not in us. So if we're willing to go and to walk in the light, and to walk in the light means that it reveals what's in our hearts. It reveals, it exposes everything. There's another place that says that God is a, He knows the intents of our hearts. He knows everything that's there. We can try to cover those things up, but if we're in the light, everything's exposed, so to speak. And if we say that we have no sin, as verse 8 says, we deceive ourselves. It's making a fool of ourselves if we say we have no sin, because all have sinned. Some sins may be greater than others, but all have sinned. I think it's in Romans that it says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And everyone has, and it doesn't matter if we think we're someone special or not, but we all have sinned and fallen short. But if we confess this sin, if we're willing to come to the light, God is there and God is faithful. He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's such a blessing to think about, that He forgives our sins and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I think it's Titus. Titus 3, verse 3. I think it talks. I'd like to turn to that too. Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But I want to focus more, those beginning of those verses, it stood out to me that we were foolish and disobedient. We were deceived, in a sense. And I know for me, when God was drawing me to Him, I remember different times of wanting to come to the light, to fully expose my heart. And I remember just being afraid of that light and being afraid of exposing my sin and the things that I struggled with, the things that I didn't have victory over. But God was working, and I allowed some of that light to shine in. And then one Sunday evening, I decided that I would confess my sins. I went down and I prayed with Mom and Dad, and I confessed those things that were there. And when that light came in, I felt so free afterwards. I wasn't maybe not a terrible, terrible sinner, but I knew that I had sinned, and I knew that I had fallen. But those things were gone completely, and I remember feeling so light. I remember so much peace in my heart as I fell asleep. There was so much peace there. And a great blessing that I found in Psalm 103:12. It says that as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. He removed those things from us. They're completely gone. And So let us walk in the light. There's some verses here. Let me just keep going. It doesn't matter if we're big, if a big or a little sinner, we all must come to the light. We all must come to that foot of the cross where the cleansing fountain is. And the blood can wash and can purge. He can make white and take away those things. But the challenge, the big challenge is, at least for me, is that all needs to happen. That is God's way of us coming to Him. But to stay in that light is the challenge, to always be there. You know, we can tend to slowly let that oil burn out that we have. That we think of the 10 virgins. We think of 5 were wise and 5 foolish, and 5 took oil and 5 didn't. But we can tend to let that oil burn low, and our lights start getting dimmer. And that's not what God wants. He wants us to stay in the light. And I'd like to just talk more about God's faithfulness, and how that. If we are in that light, God is faithful. He will sustain us. He will help us. In Isaiah 41:10, I'd just like to look at some promises of God being with us if we're in that light. You know, and it goes back to that example of the shepherd and the sheep. And if the shepherd is with the sheep, then we are safe. They are safe. And so we are safe if we are with the shepherd, if we're in that light. But if we go and stray off alone, or if we scatter and we run, then we're vulnerable to prey. We must stay in the light. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with thy right hand of righteousness. And verse 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect," 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Deuteronomy 31:8, "And the Lord, he it is that goeth before thee, he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." 37, verse 23 and 24, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. In his way, though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand." 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." This is maybe a little bit of a side note, but his strength comes in perfectly in our weakness. We can't do it by ourselves. And I was reading this morning in Psalm 91, and I would just like to read that. There's so many verses in Psalm 91 that were such a blessing. They were such a promise. And I'd just like to read there. Psalm 91. I'm just going to read that chapter I don't have too much on this chapter, but "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He," it's talking about the man, "because He," talking about us, "hath set His love upon me," which is God. "Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name." "He," which is talking about man, I believe, "shall call upon me," which is God, "and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." But I was just encouraged with those verses of God's, you could say God's holding power, or God's power to keep us if we're in that light. You know, He is, as we said, He is over the enemy. He is over Satan. And Satan cannot come in the light, because he fears the light, because everything's going to be revealed if he steps in that light. So Satan cannot come there. So the only way that he can get us is if we are in darkness And I just want to encourage us on to faithfulness. That our hearts would be set on that light, and that our minds would be made up. Our hearts would be set, would be fixed. And that, I think it's in, Paul says that, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And I know that's, he's talking of something, maybe something else there, maybe not exactly like this, but I think we can take that promise, and we can know, and we can be persuaded that he is able to keep that which we've committed. And I was just thinking of in Ephesians 6. I know we know those verses well, and I won't. I just would like to read over them because it goes good with this, and Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Notice there where it says that we're strong in the Lord, but we're in the power of his might. We're not fighting by ourselves. "But we put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wills of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore with having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I might stop there. I just have a few things that stood out to me. Whereas in verse 10, in the power of his might, and that we put on the whole armor. We don't let any guards down, so to speak. He's encouraging us to put the whole armor on. You know, I'm looking for that verse where it says the helmet of salvation. You know, I had to think, you know, of David and Goliath, and Goliath did not put his whole armor on. He thought he didn't need it. He thought he was big enough. And God worked through that, and David took Goliath down. But it is foolish for us to not have our helmet on and all those, and the whole armor, as it says. But it's easy for me to let that, I think of that shield. You know, you think of the darts that come, and you think of the having that shield in front of you, and you, and in a sense, we are fighting, and there are darts thrown, and we need to put that shield in front of us. But if we let that shield down, that dart may come at a time we're not prepared. And then I just have a few a verse, actually just one verse here, out of Proverbs something new kind of stood out to me, and it maybe doesn't completely go with this, but I, through all this, I was thinking about our you know, it's easy for me to get, as I think about the future, I think about raising a family and having having a godly family. And as I think about these things, it can tend to almost scare me. It can tend to almost, I wonder, how will we do? How will I do? But Proverbs 3:6, a very, very simple verse that just encouraged me. And I can find it here. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That we would trust in the Lord with all our heart, with everything, with whatever we think about, with the future. We wouldn't live in fear, but we would trust it to him. And again, as we talked about, that's one of Satan's tactics, is he wants us to fear. He don't want us to trust. And then he can start us down a road that can slowly take us down. And he wants to tell us that we're not able to do these things. We're not able to prosper in the Lord, so to speak. And another something that stood out to me, and lean not on thine own understanding. And this probably could mean different things, but something that it spoke to me was that in all our ways and everything we do, we wouldn't lean on our own understanding, but that we would acknowledge him. And I think of acknowledging him. I think that would mean, you know, there's different things it could mean, but I think of, what does it mean to acknowledge God? And I think if something happens, and we see that something, maybe it was a close call or whatever it is, we see that God protected us. God was there. And I think it is rightful for us to acknowledge him, to just lift a prayer up to him and thanks to him. And that he cares for us in so many ways, that we would acknowledge him with our lives. You know, I think of, yeah, there's many different things I can think of that, you know, if we have a prayer that's answered, we'd acknowledge him with that. We would thank him for it. We wouldn't just go on our way, but we would be God conscious. I don't have too much more. I thought of, I don't have just a lot more here. There was some verses, but I'm not sure if I don't have it written or if it's not. But I think I'll just share one more thing here. And I wasn't sure if I should share this or not. It built my trust in the Lord. My faith rose a little bit, or I don't know how to say it, but I had a little incident happen, and it goes along with acknowledging him. We were leaving, and we went to leave, and we were in a hurry. We were going to Bible study, and I put my songbook and my Bible on top of the car. And I ran in to get something else, and I came back out and forgot all about it and took off. And we had about a half mile in gravel, and we turned on the state road. And I heard something, and I thought, well, what was that, you know? And we kept going, and we heard another thing, and soon it hit us that it was my Bible and the songbook. And there was traffic coming from the back, and so I thought, well, that's, yeah, it's probably destroyed. And I think there were two semis and a car or two. And we turned around and went back, and the songbook was laying there in the middle, and it was, pages were pretty, about every, were all over, and it was pretty rough shape. But my Bible was just laying flat on the road, and I can just see a few little marks. And a couple semis went over it, and it's just fine. And I don't know if I told my little son this or if he said something, but he said that God took care of my Bible. And it just blessed me that, you know, and I thank God for that, and that we would acknowledge him, that we'd be God conscious, we'd be aware, that we'd be in that light, and that we could, things happen, we'd point it to God and say that was God. And it didn't just happen, it was God. So that's all that I have. I would just say that you brothers can, there's so many, you can just feel free to share, and maybe if there's something that I share that's not biblical or that I'm seeing wrong, I would just ask that you could correct that. And so that's all I have.